Hello, and welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Sharakana. We invite you to join us on Thursdays at 8 p.m. for an engaging exchange with us and our special guest as we cover various topics regarding history, genealogy, and your personal family history stories. Hello, I'm Janice Gilliard.
And I'm Sharakana Feliciano. Welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Sharakana. Thank you for joining us. And don't forget, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Today, we're joined by our guest, Dolly Marshall.
Dolly Marshall is a historical preservation activist, researcher, genealogist, and lecturer, and leads several community partnerships related to African American experiences and the African diaspora, bringing this crucial part of history to life for the public. Dolly is also a historic preservation specialist for the city of Camden, New Jersey, education and interpretation associate for the Pinelands Preservation Alliance, and a trustee of the Mount Peace Cemetery Association.
Dolly is a member of the Association of Black Women Historians, the National Trust for Historic Preservation, and the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. An avid writer, Dolly is working on a book about her notable family history that includes many distinguished individuals. Some of Ms. Marshall's ancestors' stories can currently be seen at the Museum of the American Revolution's Black Founders exhibit, the Fortin Family of Philadelphia, whom Ms. Marshall is a descendant of through her maternal lineage. Dolly Marshall, welcome to Speak On It.
Hello, thank you. Good evening to you both, and hello to all of your listeners out there. And thank you so much for having me on today.
You're welcome. So Dolly, the first time we learned about your ancestors, the Fortin family of Philadelphia, was via a bookmarker that was distributed during the Sons and Daughters of the U.S. Middle Passage Conference last year. Our colleague, our mutual colleague, Adrienne Whaley, made sure that all attendees of the conference received one. I thought, wow, this seems interesting. Little did we know that our paths would cross with a living descendant, you, via a member of our Ox chapter. So for our listeners, please share who James Fortin was.
Wow, those bookmarks have traveled the world and then some. They've been little mini marketers of ambassadorship for the Fortin exhibit, which is a great thing. But James Fortin was born a free man in the year 1766 and in Philadelphia to Thomas and Margaret Fortin. And he was an inventor, a successful entrepreneur, and an abolitionist who fought for the end of slavery and equality for people of the African diaspora. At 14, James joined the Continental Navy during the Revolutionary War, and he set sail on a privateer ship called the Royal Lewis, and that ship was captured by the British, and James was held as a prisoner of war for 7 months. He experienced a harrowing ordeal, but by the grace of God was released and walked from Brooklyn, New York back to Philadelphia, where at the time his mother and sister thought he had died in the Revolutionary War. So fast forward, that was about 1790. So fast forward to the 1800s, James Fortin had established himself as an owner of a successful sail loft where he employed both Black and white workers. And the business afforded him not only great wealth, but the ability to use his money for funding causes, social justice causes, and civil rights causes within the city of Philadelphia and beyond. So in about 1813, James authored a pamphlet titled A Man of Color to the Pennsylvania Legislature. And at the time, the legislature was considering passing a bill that would require Black people who were emigrating to the state of Pennsylvania to register within the state. And this came about because white citizens were fearful that there would be increasing competition for jobs because of the influx of newly emancipated African-Americans from the South. And James Fortin argued in A Man of Color that this law would unjustly discriminate against Black people, and the bill was ultimately put down. Those are some of the things I wanted to highlight about Mr. Fortin. He was definitely a man of great civic duty, and he fought for equality since the time he was 13 years old, because he was born in the city of Philadelphia, which was where the Declaration of Independence was written. He actually more than likely heard it read for the first time in the city. So those seeds were planted in him at a very, very young age. So that's a little about him.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with the whole walking from New York to Philly. I'm like, okay, let me go put my sneakers on and walk around the corner. I mean, like, wow,
that's someone that, you know, is definitely, can you imagine the stories he could tell? You know, like they always ask, oh, who's someone from the past that you would love to sit and talk to? And, you know, James Fortin is definitely, you know, one of those people, because he sounds like, you know, he would have had stories for days.
Yes, definitely. I try to talk about him, especially when I'm talking, lecturing, talk about him like a real person. Not necessarily like a far removed historical figure, like a real person. And, you know, the way I would connect with, you know, a family member or ancestor, because he truly was a really accessible person. He just did some amazing things.
Right. Yeah, no, that was excellent breakdown of kind of an overview of his life for sure. So when did you learn about your connection to James Fortin, and what impact did it have on you, like particularly with your education and your career path?
Well, I was taught by my parents and grandparents at a young age, just like James, about the significant contributions of Black people, that Black people made to the United States and beyond, including those in my own family tree. So I do recall James Fortin's name and life story coming up from time to time. However, it was only in the last 5 years that I realized how closely related we are. So I had asked my mom, Roberta Marshall, specifically about the Fortin name when I was doing some genealogy, because in some of the records it's spelled Fortune, F-O-R-T-U-N-E, even on the naval, Continental Navy manifest record that has James's name in the 1760s, it's Fortune. So I asked my mom, because I was wondering, I was like, Fortune, are we related? And she said, yes, we have some Fortins in the family. That would be my mom's, you know, when I would ask her, she would succinctly tell me, yes, it's, you know, so-and-so's in the family, they're in the family. So I said, okay, let me dig a little deeper and go from there. So I discovered that my great grand aunt, a lady by the name of Sarah Hegeman, Sadie, she married George Fortin, and George is James's great grandson. And yes, he was James and Charlotte's great grandson. So that's the connection there through my maternal lineage. And I would say the impact it's had, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it's amazing to be, you know, related, to have these connections with the families, because my maternal branch, the Hegeman side, goes back to Philadelphia quite a ways during that same abolitionist period with the Fortins. So, I mean, it's wonderful to know that these bonds were made. And career-wise, I would say it just made me strive harder to find ways to not only interpret, but to make the public aware of these untold stories and to be more of an advocate, that they have more wider exposure.
I love that. I would love to be connected to the Fortin family. I know when we first met, I was like, okay, wait, let me check. And last night, I actually put aside, and I'm going to look into it a little bit further, but an obituary for a dear friend's mother. And that's her, but it's spelled F-O-R-T-U-N-E. And she was from South Jersey. So, oh my gosh, you know, but I haven't come up with anything yet. But now that you said that it's F-O-R-T-E-N and F-O-R-T-U-N-E, I'm going to go back and check. So
wait, we'll get to the next question, Dolly. Does your family, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but does your family still, it sounds like there's still some long connections in Philadelphia. Did they kind of stay in that area?
Yes. I mean, I have on my maternal and paternal side, I have family that migrated from the South to Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And then I have family that were born, you know, generations that were born in Philadelphia.
Wow.
So we cover the tri-state area pretty
pretty thoroughly.
we're all over, so.
Very cool. It's just, I ask because, you know, you don't, like Philadelphia has a very, very rich history, man. It's such a historic city and it's like, it's palpable. In many ways, it's kind of like Harlem in that way. Harlem is like the what I kind of use as a measuring stick, if you will, because I grew up in that area, but Philly's history is just like, oh, it's just, it's in the air. Like it's just in the air.
It's palpable.
Yeah. And I think, you know, with that though, as is often the case, unfortunately, sometimes the Black stories and the Black history isn't as like, you know, obvious. It's still a little hidden, but the Black history in Philadelphia is also like very, very deep. So it's awesome to hear these stories because, you know, yes, we do have roots in the South, but there's a lot of like stories and roots that were also planted up north as well. So that's really, really cool.
Yes. I mean, we were here. The exhibit is called Black Founders because we were here. We founded these communities and Philadelphia at the time had the most largest concentration of people of the African diaspora. That's why, you know, people were flocking to Pennsylvania and Philadelphia specifically because it was, you know, a free state and a place where African Americans could flourish. And, you know, we've been here laying the foundations, you know, of early America.
That's right.
Rich history, very rich history. And a great point, Chiricana, I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
So Dolly, during a recent outing or visit, we went to Mount Peace Cemetery. How did you become involved in historic preservation and what is your role with Mount Peace Cemetery?
Well, historic preservation was always something I was interested in and pursued as a hobby. I became involved in Mount Peace Cemetery officially in 2017, but it's been connected to my family since the mid-1900s when I began searching for my maternal great-great-grandfather, a man by the name of William Waters Hegeman, a Civil War sailor, who is also George Fortin's father-in-law. He led me to the cemetery, well, not physically, but spiritually, and the discovery of 14 additional ancestors. And from there, I went to the cemetery to locate to see if I could find his grave, and I did. And from there, I just became involved in the cemetery. I was invited to join the board and became a trustee and public relations manager, project manager, volunteer coordinator, researcher, you name it, because we're a nonprofit. So, I mean, it's been wonderful. It's been about going on 6 years now, but I wear many hats and we're a non-active cemetery, but we are, we still have to maintain daily operations as a historic site. We're on the National Register of Historic places. We're also on the National Underground Railroad Network to Freedom program. We're designated as a National Network to Freedom site on behalf of Reverend Alexander Heritage Newton, who, by the way, was an abolitionist at beginning at the age of 17. He's buried in Mount Peace. And then it's just another way for me to share more untold stories with the community at large, with the nation. I just finished filming a documentary on Reverend Newton, so stay tuned for that. And I'm just involved with restoring the cemetery, making sure that it's preserved as a final resting place of African Americans, but also that their contributions to society don't go forgotten, that they're remembered, and that we teach people a lot of different things through the cemetery. We have different programs. We're also an arboretum. We teach people native plants and trees. We teach people about the Underground Railroad and how people survived on the Underground Railroad by the use of plants. And we have workshops, we have lectures, we have a lot of different events. We do headstone cleaning classes and workshops. It's just a lot of different things. I work with a lot of school children and veterans groups, but I do have 14 ancestors there. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's something that, you know, I don't have to be paid to do, because I feel it's something that it's instilled in me. Perpetual care is very important.
Right.
And it's something that I'll continue, you know, to do and show others to do within the descendant community. So that's a little of how I'm involved. Every day is different, but
What town in New Jersey is it in?
Mount Peace is located in Lawnside, New Jersey. Historic Lawnside, right outside of Philadelphia and Camden. And Lawnside was a stop on the Underground Railroad. Lawnside was the first all African American self-governed municipality north of the Mason-Dixon line. It's still self-governed by all African Americans. It's a lot of rich history in Lawnside.
Yep. And I think Jerina Lee, the first female, is it Episcopalian?
AME.
Yes. AME, yes.
Preacher.
Yep. Yes. She was at Lawnside. So yes.
She's buried there, not in Mount Peace. She's buried in Mount Pixa, which is which is behind Mount Peace.
Yes. I got to visit it briefly because I was doing some cemetery research. And in fact, I actually, my first introduction to you was virtually. I didn't actually like speak with you, but you were on a panel about cemetery preservation, and I was really interested in it. And, you know, cemeteries in New Jersey are just, I mean, the history in that alone. It's like you can go on and on and on about it. So I'm glad that, you know, you shared a little bit about this work that you do.
And Chiricana and Dolly, we also have two members of our OJ chapter that are heavily connected to Lawnside, Dr. Barbara Polk Riley and her daughter, Karen Riley, ancestors there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They were featured in the book, right? On South Jersey, I think, Black families in South Jersey.
Yes. And they've been having, her family's been having family reunions for over 100 years.
Wow.
The book is, they're featured in the Black America series, Union County Black Americans by Ethel M. Washington. And they're included, but they're connected to Lawnside.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
So, Black Founders is a special exhibit at the Museum of the American Revolution. It's an excellent exhibit to our listeners. Last month, the museum hosted a screening of Movers and Makers, Black Founders, the Fortin Family of Philadelphia, in partnership with PBS. Can you share with us how this came about?
Well, the documentary, the museum was working on developing a documentary as a companion piece to the exhibit, and graciously asked me to participate in it. Everything just kind of happened. It was kismet, as the saying goes. that was a project that was already in the works. And then we met the staff of the museum and programming, curation, when we touched base and connected, actually when they came to Lawnside to tour Mount Zion, where the Fortons of New Jersey are buried. And of course I took them to Mount Peace, because I take everybody to Mount Peace too, and it's only up the street. So, you know, we knew, well, we didn't know, but we hit it off very well. And they were excited to work with me and find out more about what I do in the cemetery work. And it just kind of grew organically from there that I became involved in the PBS documentary.
Very cool.
Yes, indeed.
I would encourage our listeners to check that out. So if they just type in PBS and in Black Founders at the Museum of the American Revolution, it is so, so powerful. One of the pieces that I was impressed with was your segment, of course, and then the Bible. There was a gentleman, I think his name is Kip, is it? Had the family Bible, donated the Bible, and then also the miniature ship. That blew me away. Contracted with this gentleman. I think he was from Boston.
So. The African-American craftsman. He builds those ships down to the finest detail.
Then the family Bible with Kip. I think his mother had the Bible, and they were actually still recording births and deaths in the book, and he donated it to the museum. Am I correct?
Yes. Well, first he had loaned, it was on loan. Originally it was on loan, but it has since become gifted to the museum for exhibition and further preservation. But Kip and I actually met, my cousin Kip and I met for the first time when we shot that with the footage that ended up in the documentary. So that's actually us meeting for the first time. The Bible has been passed down for several generations on his mother's side. And his full name is Atwood Kip Fortin Jacobs. And he was recording births and deaths up until the birth of his daughter. And so you can see records of births and deaths going back to the early 1800s, because it was a wedding gift. It was James Fortin Jr. It was a wedding gift to his new bride.
That Bible. That's sweet.
Yes.
That is really sweet. And it's so cool to see on displays. It actually gave me goosebumps.
Oh, yes. It was, to see it on display. And I got a chance to actually look through it and touch some of the pages and read some of the verses. It's just amazing to have a piece of an heirloom, family heirloom, but then to have archival documentation that you can see, you know, a family tree, because for lack of, you know, records are not easy sometimes to find for African-Americans, birth certificates, death certificates. And a lot of times that's what families did. They would make their recordings in their family Bibles.
That's right.
And you see, if you look at a lot of the records where people were applying for a birth, if they didn't have a birth certificate and they were applying, you would see a notation, you know, we've examined the family Bible, how that served as a legal document in many cases.
It is. It is actually considered evidence in the court of law. So, yep.
So, Dolly, the documentary also highlights several of Philadelphia's most important early African-American families. Who are some of the other families, and are you connected to them?
Well, some of the other families profiled in the documentary were the Purvis family. I think might've touched on the Grimkes. So two sisters, two daughters, I should say, of James and Charlotte, Harriet Fortin and Sarah Fortin, married two brothers from the Purvis family. Robert Purvis and Joseph Purvis, and they had children. So there's a connection there to the Purvises. But before, you know, that Fortin connection with the Purvises, on my maternal side, my great grandfather by the name of William Henry Jones, he was doing some business. I did some research and discovered that he had some meetings in the 1880s with Mr. Robert Purvis in Philadelphia. So I have some connections with him through my great grandfather and the Fortins. And then I think the documentary probably touched on some of the later generations, like Charlotte Fortin, and Charlotte, of course, married Reverend Francis Grimke. So you have the Grimke family. So another very, very important, significant family to Philadelphia, to Washington, D.C., and beyond.
Yeah.
Because they had many children, and many of them married and continued in the tradition of civic duty and activism. I know Harriet and Robert Purvis, Harriet Fortin Purvis, and Robert's son was a doctor. That's Charles Burley Purvis. And he's affiliated with Howard University. And first African-American doctor to attend a sitting president when James Garfield was shot. And then there's Sarah and Joseph's son, William Purvis, who was an inventor, and he invented fountain pens and
oh my goodness,
quite a number of patents.
Y'all was just doing cool stuff.
When I heard so a lot of other, you know, avenues.
Wow. Robert Purvis, when his name came up, I was thinking of an ancestor. Well, Basil Dorsey, one of his descendants, one of his children, married into my family, the Cross family. But with Basil Dorsey, Robert Purvis actually helped him with a court case. And he was running away from an enslaver. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this history is just mind blowing. It really is. Yep.
That is awesome. So Dolly, how long is the exhibit, Black Founders, the Fortin Family of Philadelphia, open to the public?
The Black Founders exhibit, the Fortin Family of Philadelphia, will be running until November, until the day after Thanksgiving. So until November 27th, 2023.
Okay. So you guys have time, to our listeners. Yes. It's so worth the visit.
Yes.
It's a great museum. And you're also in a part of the city where there's like a lot of things, you know, nice things to do. You can have a nice afternoon there. So I definitely recommend checking it out.
Yes, it's a great exhibit to, even if you've already been, to go back and see again.
But noted. Yes. Noted.
It's a nice experience. And, you know, I've gone, you know, several times and always learn something new or see things from a different perspective. And it's just a wonderful opportunity to get to see a century's worth of history of, you know, one family. Exhibited in such a illustrious and prominent way.
What a powerful legacy is all I'm sitting here thinking, like, wow, just wow.
Yeah.
Not to ruin it for folks, but when they walk in, I mean, even the way the museum set it up is just really magnificent. Because, you know, you walk in and number one, you feel like, you know, you definitely pulled back into time, but they use space from like the bottom to the top. And, you know, there's just like, just a great use of visuals and imagery, and there's just information everywhere. I mean, it's just very well done, very well thought out exhibit. I just can't stress that enough.
Yes, bravo to them for their well thought out and wonderfully curated exhibit, wonderfully engaging exhibit, and the staff and everyone connected with the Museum of the American Revolution has really made a great contribution and impact because James Fortin lived not too far from actually where the museum is located, you know, and it's sale loft. Like you can do a walking tour if you want to come back to see the exhibit, sign up for a walking tour and take that tour with Michael Idris, who's the fellowship interpreter for the museum, and take that walking tour and go see the actual sites of James Fortin. You can go down to Penn's Landing. You can go to the site where his home once stood. So it's amazing.
Oh, great. Good to know. I think I'll do that next time.
Yes.
So Dolly, what are some parting words of inspiration? And I'm sure you've got plenty. I know I would with this type of legacy that you would like to leave with our listeners. Also, how can they learn more about you?
Well, I mean, parting words is kind of hard to summarize because I never stop finding ways to be inspired or inspire others, but I would like to leave your listeners with this. I would say never stop learning. It's important to understand our collective past, to learn from it and use it to inspire change by telling our truths as they happened in history. And that's my purpose. And also, you can always do good no matter how little or how much you have. And that's what I lead with. And it keeps me motivated to know that I'm connected to this legacy, but it's rooted in a community. And so I try to inspire people in that type of way, I guess by doing and by actions. And I think that's why I get a lot of people willing to follow me on this journey, because they actually seeing me do, you know, what I love to do. And right. And I put my money where my mouth is.
right. Leading by example.
Yeah. So that's it.
And where can they learn more about you?
Well, you can find out more about the work I do on Mount Peace website. It's www.mtpeacecemeteryassociation.org. You can also follow us on our Facebook page, which is at Mount Peace Cemetery. And also, if you are perusing the worldwide net, if you Google City of Camden, I do the history for the City of Camden. That's one of my projects. So the city has a website and they also have a history tab. You can learn a lot about the Black founders of the City of Camden, who also a lot have connections to Philadelphia as well, in the greater Delaware Valley. So you can find out more from the City of Camden's website. Just Google the City of Camden. It should pop up easily. And just stay tuned. Like I said, I'm working on a documentary about Reverend Newton that's buried in Mount Peace. If you sign up for our newsletter on our Mount Peace website, you can get notification of when that'll premiere. So that's where you can find what I'm up to.
Awesome. Well, Dolly, thank you so much for sharing with us and our listeners and giving us those websites where we can find you and learn more about the projects you've got coming up. So we thank you for joining us, and we look forward to sharing with our listeners during our next segment of Speak On It.
You're welcome. Speak On It is a podcast and is immediately available to listen to at your leisure. Thank you.